You should have lesson seven. We've already gone through the first part of lesson seven, but what I want to do is I'm going to go really fast. I'm going to go through some of these slides really fast. Most of you have already got the things written down anyway, but we'll slow down in just a few minutes. But what we've been doing, if you remember the study, we're calling it the names of titles of God. We've seen a number of things. Can you go back to the very beginning, or do I have to do that? Okay, got it. We looked at the names of God. In the Old Testament, we looked at the names of God. In the New Testament, we looked at names dealing with prophecy. And then we looked at the birth of Christ. Then we're looking at the ministry of Christ. And there's two aspects, the earthly ministry and the heavenly ministry. We said the Father came up with the plan. Jesus Christ carried out the plan. The Holy Spirit revealed the plan. The Father's plan was this. He said, I've got to save mankind. We spent a whole lesson, if you remember, it's been several weeks ago, that we actually talked about what exactly did God do? What about the fall of man? What did God do? How God so loved the world and sent his Son and the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ and how he died for every person and how when he rose from the grave, he conquered death for every person. And we saw that the Father came up with this plan, but Jesus carried it out and the Holy Spirit reveals it. And then we talk about the earthly and heavenly ministry of Christ. And where we are now is the earthly ministry, and we're on the idea of the Messiah. And we spent a couple of times on that. I'm going to go fairly quickly through it this morning, but I just want you to see it. And then we're going to begin to look at the various names and titles of Jesus, what they called him when he did his earthly ministry. There are four of them. We'll see two in this lesson and two next time. Then we're going to go to the heavenly ministry, and it's a little bit different. He's gone to prepare a place. He's a priest and a sacrifice, and he's also a priest and intercessor. And there's two different things there. In fact, we're going to see that he was a priest on the earth, and his earthly priestly ministry is different than his heavenly priestly ministry, and we'll see all that as we go through it. So there's some great things there. So earthly ministry, the Messiah, Christ. What we saw, the word Messiah in Hebrew is Hebrew, and Christ is Greek. And we talked about he was the prophet, priest, and king. Now, what happened there? We're there. Now, here's what we want to see. Is in the Old Testament that there were people who were anointed, prophet, priest, and king. They were the anointed ones. But here's the deal. They were anointed ones, but none were the anointed one, because the anointed one, the Messiah, would be all three offices at the same time. Now, we've talked about this before, so this is not something new, but I just want you to get this. Prophets were anointed by God. Priests were anointed by God. Kings were anointed by God. But nobody was a prophet, priest, and king at the same time. When the Bible talked about the anointed one of God, they're talking about the Messiah. They're talking about Jesus. There were Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, and there would be one who would come, that's Jesus, who would be the anointed prophet, priest, and king all at the same time. That's what's amazing. Now, we've taught this, and we taught this several weeks ago, so this is not anything new. I just want you to realize where we are and what we're seeing. So I want you to see this in Hebrews chapter 1. This is where I told you to turn. I want you to see in Hebrews chapter 1, and we didn't usually talk about this, but we did about 3 weeks ago. I want you to see in the early verses, we see the writer of Hebrews describing Jesus as the prophet, the priest, and the king. Hebrews chapter 1, look with me at, I've got it right here, I think. There we go. Look at it. Verses 1 and 2, he's a prophet because he speaks. Look at verses 1 and 2. God, after he spoke a long time ago to the fathers and the prophets and in many portions and many ways, all he's saying is God in the past spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, that's Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he made the world. He's spoken now through his Son, the great prophet Jesus Christ. Then the second part is the priest, and he's made a sacrifice. Look at verse 3. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, saying that Jesus is exactly God. He upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus Christ, as the great high priest, made the sacrifice and is sat down. Now, I want you to think about his, we're going to go into details in just a minute, his earthly ministry as a priest was to offer himself as a sacrifice. And then the third aspect is the king. And notice in verse 3, it says he is sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice that in verse 8, look what he's called in verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. And so what we realize is that Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 1 is described as the prophet who spoke, who God spoke through Jesus. He's the priest who offered himself as the sacrifice, and he's the king who is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he has a scepter, and he will rule forever. So Jesus is the prophet, the priest, and the king. And that's what I want you to understand when you see Messiah. Now, let me do something for you, and I'm going to go fairly quickly through this, because I'd like to get through this lesson today, but I want you to see him as the prophet, priest, and king, and I want you to think about it, because it's amazing. Let's look at, first of all, that Jesus is a prophet. As a prophet, he proclaimed the word of God. Remember, not only did he speak the word of God, he was the word of God. You remember in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came with a message. What was his message? I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I just want you to think about this. Jesus' message was not, there are a lot of ways to God. Jesus' message was not, listen, I've come and I just want to tell you how to get to God, and if you'll live a certain way, you can get to God, or if you'll try to keep the Ten Commandments, or you'll try to do. Jesus' message wasn't that. Jesus' message wasn't, there are all kind of God, you know, there's only one God, but there's all kind of ways to get to God. That's not his message. As the prophet of God, his message was, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to God. He is the truth about God. He is the one that brings life. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. We talked about this several weeks ago, and we said this, that when you start talking about Jesus and salvation and... Did you get it? Okay. When you start talking about Jesus and salvation, we have to stand for the truth in a society and a community that doesn't hold to the fact that Jesus is the only way of salvation. We believe two things that are contrary to most people, to many people. That Jesus is the only way of salvation. There is no other way. You can name every kind of religion in the world, and none of them will get you to God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. We hold to that, and when you talk to people, there are going to be people that say to you, you're not being tolerant. You're saying Jesus is the only way. There's got to be other ways. Oh, you know, you're just thinking. The truth is there is only one way, and that's Jesus. And we're not coming up with that. Jesus came up with that. There's a second thing that we stand for that most don't stand for, and that is we believe that the way to God through Jesus Christ is by faith alone in Christ for eternal life. We believe that. Most people do not believe that. Now, you hear people say, oh yes, the grace of God and all this, but almost everyone adds something to it. Whether it's walk down an aisle, give your life to Jesus, keep the Ten Commandments, repent of your sins, do all of these things that people say people must do in order to be saved. And that's not grace, and that's not faith alone in Christ alone. So when you stand for the fact that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and when you stand that the only way of salvation in Jesus is by faith alone and Christ alone, there are going to be people opposed to you, because both things are contrary to what our whole culture and society says, even our Christian culture and society. So what was Jesus' message? I'm the what? The way, the truth, and the life, and a lot of people can come to God different ways? No. No one comes to the Father except how? Through him. Who sent him into the world? The Father. The Father came up with the plan. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. The Son, Jesus Christ, came to fulfill the plan. He came to die and rise again. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. The Holy Spirit reveals the plan. That's why when we talk to people, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, sin that they have not believed in Christ. Just remember this. When you're telling people about Jesus and you're talking to them about salvation, the issue is not their sin. The issue is, will they believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Because the Holy Spirit is convicting them, not of individual particular sins, but convicting them that they have not believed in Christ. Stay on that issue. Okay, so he was the prophet, right? With a great message. We got a message, do we not? We go out these doors. And see, here's the deal. And when you start thinking about our church, and we, on that Sunday that we meet together, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've come for. Why did God give us a building? Why do we keep meeting? Why did we meet here? Why have we met here for almost 3 years? When we get to that building, what's going to change? Is our message going to change? Of course not. And so we have the greatest message of all, and it's a grace message. It's faith alone, Christ alone, for eternal life. So it's a great thing. That's the message. He was the prophet. In fact, he was the anointed prophet. Okay, let's think of the second thing, and that was he's the priest. He's the great high priest. And I want you to think about this. In the earthly ministry, it deals with his sacrifice as a priest. Now, I want to read some. If you in your Bible, go ahead, and I don't think I put the verses. I think I just, yeah. Turn over to Hebrews 10 for just a second. Since you're already in Hebrews chapter 3, turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse 10. And I want you to see this. Now, this is his earthly ministry. Now, I want you to get this, and I know you have it because we've talked about it 3 or 4 times, but I just want to make sure you've got it. On the earth, there was a tabernacle, which later became a temple. Who served in the tabernacle and who served in the temple? Who did that? The priest. And what tribe were the priests from? The tribe of Levi. So all the priests and Levites, as they called them, served in the temple. Jesus was from what tribe? Judah. Could Jesus, even though he's God, could he have served in the earthly temple? He could not. In fact, if he had, it'd have been wrong. And that'd have been sin. And if he'd have sinned, guess what? He wouldn't be the Savior. So when we talk about Jesus and his sacrifice, his priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek. And that's in Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6, basically chapter 7, that he deals with this man named Melchizedek. But Jesus' priesthood wasn't after Levi. It was after Melchizedek. And he offered himself as a final sacrifice for sin. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 10. He says, by this will we have been sanctified. We have been set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. If you were a priest in the time of Christ, how many sacrifices did you offer? Many. In fact, daily you offered sacrifices. Then yearly you offered what they call the Day of Atonement sacrifice. You offered sacrifices over and over and again. But this passage says we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, what? Once for all. See, Jesus made a sacrifice that didn't cover sin. He made a sacrifice that what? Paid for sin. Look at verse 11. Every priest stands daily, ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which what? Can never take away sin. They offered sacrifices all the time that just covered sin. All these sacrifices were pointing to the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it says, but he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice, that's himself, for sins for all time, what did he do? What does it say? Hebrews 10:12. Are y'all not there? What does it say? He sat down at the right hand of God. He's through. Did the priest ever sit down in the tabernacle? Did the priest ever sit down in the temple? There was no place to sit down. There was no furniture to sit down. If you were a priest and you said, I got to go find a place to sit down, guess what? There's not one. You said, my legs are killing me. You're going to have to stand. You stand daily. But when Jesus finished his sacrifice, he sat down. Where? At the right hand of the throne of God. He offered himself once for all as the final sacrifice for sin forever. Now, that's earthly. Where did he offer that sacrifice? Where? On the cross. Exactly right. He offered himself as the sacrifice. They placed him on the cross. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When he was on that cross, he laid down his life. He paid for the sins of the world when he was separated from the Father while he was on the cross. By the way, the payment for sin happened when? Before he died. Exactly right. Jesus paid the penalty for sin before he died physically. He died spiritually when he was separated from the Father on the cross. He said, my God, why have you what? Forsaken me. He's separated. He's paying for the sins of the world right then. Then before he dies physically, what does he say? It is finished. Then he dies physically. The physical death is so where he could come back from the dead and conquer physical death. Spiritual death was when he died on the cross and was separated from the Father. So that happened on the cross. Okay? So, he was the anointed what? Priest. Then there's the final thing, and that's the king. Okay? He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King rules the world. You remember there are two comings for the King. Let's make sure we've got this. And most of us, since we've studied end times and all that stuff before, but not everybody may have this, the first time Jesus Christ came, and when we talk about the comings of Jesus Christ, we're talking about his comings where? To the earth. Think about it. You've got to get this. Make sure you got it. When we talk about the comings of Christ, the first coming and the second coming, the first advent and the second advent, that has nothing to do with rapture. These are talking about the comings of Christ to the earth. The first time Jesus Christ came, he offered himself as king. He was rejected, and so he came to die for us. The second time he comes to the earth, he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule in righteousness and justice. So you have to understand that this rapture, and was Jesus going to come in the clouds and going to take us off? That's not a coming to the earth. That's not the first coming or the second coming. That happens to be in between the two comings. He came the first time as the king. And just remember this. This is something that we don't always grasp. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, especially, they're called the Synoptic Gospels, you will find over and over that Jesus has offered himself as the King of Israel. The King of Israel. He offered himself to the Jewish people as their king. How did they end it in Matthew? We have no king but Caesar. They rejected him. They rejected him. And even Pilate said, your blood be on your own hands. And they said, our hands and our children. So in the first time Jesus came, he offered himself as the king. What was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's the king. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's offered himself to the nation of Israel as king. That's his first coming. And so he came that first time, he was the anointed king, and of course they rejected him. When he comes the second time, he's not asking anybody. When he comes the second time, he's not asking anybody, can he be king? He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to rule in righteousness and justice. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, the heavens open and he comes. He's wearing all the crowns. He's got a name written, the Word of God, on his thigh, and he comes to judge the world and set up the kingdom. So the second time he comes, he's not asking anybody. First time he came, he asked, they rejected, he died. That's the plan, to die to pay for the sins of mankind. So he is the anointed, or was the anointed king. So realize that the only one who was anointed as the prophet, priest, and king all at the same time was Jesus Christ. That's why his earthly title is the Messiah, the Christ. He was the prophet announcing the word that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the priest who offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin. He is the king who one day will come in glory and rule in righteousness and justice. Okay, any questions, anything about his earthly ministry title as the Christ or the Messiah? It's all throughout the Bible. We already looked at it as far as the prophecies. Now we're just looking at it as far as his ministry. Everybody got it? Okay, now, with continuing with his earthly ministry, there's different names and titles that we're going to look at. And as we look at this, there are four. We're going to see two tonight, today, and we'll see two next time, okay? And we want to see them. Here's the first one, and it's a famous one. And you might say, well, why are we looking at this one? Here it is. It's Jesus of Nazareth. You know, if you think about it, and I always think it's kind of funny, because people think his name is what? Jesus Christ. His name's not Jesus Christ. His name's Jesus. He didn't have a last name. His mom and daddy wasn't Mr. and Mrs. Christ, right? He was Jesus of Nazareth. And so he was known by Jesus of Nazareth. Now let's stop for a minute. Where was Jesus Christ born? He was born in Bethlehem. Why was he born in Bethlehem? Okay, that's where God planned it, but why? Why did Jesus have to be born in Bethlehem? The prophecy, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, what? That the Messiah would be born where? In Bethlehem, the city of David. Jesus was a descendant of David. The prophecy of the son of David and all of that are prophecies. And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But what happened after he was born in Bethlehem? How long did he stay in Bethlehem? How long? About how long? About 2 years? About 2 years, yeah, because when the wise men came, they came about 2 years later, And they came seeing Herod the Great and said, where's he's born king of the Jews? And Herod said, who are you talking about? And they said, well, there's been baby born. And he said, we saw his star. And Herod said, about what time did y'all see that star? And they said, about 2 years ago. And so Herod said, why don't you see if you can go find him so I worship him. Herod didn't want to worship him. Herod wanted to kill him. And when, of course, the star appeared, the wise men went and found him and gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then being warned, they left. And then Jesus was warned and they left. And then Herod decided to kill all the boy babies. How old? 2 years old and under, about the time they first saw the star. So they lived in Nazareth in Bethlehem about 2 years. Then where did they go? They went to Egypt. And how long were they in Egypt? Huh? However long they were there. Yeah. We don't know exactly how long they were there, but Archelaus, Herod died, and most believe that Herod died, this is going to sound kind of funny, around 3 or 4. The way that they did the B.C. and the A.D., and if you look at it, Jesus was actually born about 4 B.C., according to the way they actually tied it up. He was really, they tried to start it, but then they kind of messed it up. So we're not sure exactly when Herod died, but after Herod died and he was gone, then the angel came to Joseph and said, you can go back to the land because the man that wanted to kill Jesus is dead. But when they got back, there was a guy named Archelaus who was ruling in the southern part of Israel in Bethlehem. And so they decided not to go there. They decided they'd just go back to where they had already been living. Where was that? That was Nazareth. And that's why Jesus grew up where? In Nazareth. And he was called Jesus of Nazareth. And so Nazareth was a big city, right? Small city. In fact, Nazareth was a very small city. And not very far from Nazareth was a Roman garrison, a military camp. What happens a lot of times when you have a lot of military people around? There were all kind of rumors, there were all kind of things about the city. Nazareth was a very small city and not even considered a very important city. That's why you remember when Andrew and them came and they said, we have found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And what did the guy say? Can any what? Good thing come out of Nazareth? That's a little bitty town. That's nothing. In fact, he probably was, he could have been right. He could have said, wait a minute, the Messiah can't come out of Nazareth. Messiah's got to come out of where? Bethlehem. So let's talk about Jesus was called Jesus of Nazareth. He was called Jesus of Nazareth. Look at this, and you don't have to go there. You could just look at the verses. Matthew 22:23 says, and they came and resided in a city called Nazareth that was spoken through the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. So from the very beginning, he was called Jesus of Nazareth. Now watch this. The people and even the demons called him Jesus of Nazareth. Let me put the verses. Matthew 21:11. This says this. And the multitudes were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And then when this demon was talking to Jesus, the demon said in Mark 1:24, what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth, if you come to destroy us? So if you saw him, you would say he was the rabbi from where? Nazareth. Now, let's keep going. When he came into the city on Palm Sunday, let me just read this to you. As they were coming in, the multitudes were going before him, and they were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And as he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and the multitudes were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Now, with that in mind, if Jesus is known as Jesus of Nazareth, and if you knew your Bible, which most people, some knew, some didn't, if you knew your Bible, where is the Messiah to come from? Where? Bethlehem. So you got this one named Jesus going around claiming to be the Messiah, but you say, wait a minute, where's he from? Well, he's Jesus of Nazareth. Well, but they can't be right then. The confusion, I just put it this way. Listen to this. This is in John chapter 7. I want to read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but I just want you to see what people were going through. John chapter 7, verse 40. Some of the people were saying, this is the prophet. But others were saying, this is the Christ. And then some were saying, no, no, no. Surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? The answer is exactly. He can't come from Galilee. Has not the scripture said that the Christ must be a descendant of David and come from Bethlehem? So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. The people were thinking right. They were saying, well, he can't be the Messiah because he's from Nazareth. The Messiah must come from Bethlehem. Now, if they'd have checked it out, could they have found out he was from Bethlehem? Let me ask you something. When somebody was born Jewish at that time, what did they do? When anybody was born, it didn't matter whether it was Jesus or anybody, what did they do? If it was a boy, on the eighth day, they took him to the temple and he had to be circumcised and named. If it was a boy, they waited 33 more days and came back and they offered a sacrifice. If it was a girl, they waited 66 days. Everybody's name was recorded where? In the temple. Everybody's name was recorded in the temple. And so you had a record. If somebody said, Jesus is not the right one because he's from Nazareth, all they had to do was go to the temple and check the what? Check the records. They were right there. Then let me ask you a question. If Jesus said, I am the King of the Jews, and somebody said, now I'm talking about now, today, he walks in and says, I'm the King of the Jews. How can he be the King of the Jews? What's he got to be? A descendant of who? Of David and? Got to be from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, on down to David, and have the lineage. And it's got to be proved somewhere, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Okay, where were the records? Temple. Where's the temple? Where's the temple? It's gone. No, it's not. Temple's not in Jerusalem. It's gone, isn't it? Is the temple there today? What happened to the temple? In AD 70, what happened to the temple? Burned completely up. Where are the records? There are no records that say Jesus is the Messiah. That's a wrong statement. There is a record. There is records still left showing that Jesus is a descendant of Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David. Where is that record? Exactly. There's the record. God preserved the record. This is the record. When somebody says there is no record to prove it, we got it right here. We got it right here. But when he comes second time, he's not asking anybody, let's check the records. When he's coming the second time, he's taking names. Let me tell you, he's dividing it up. Sheep from the goats. And we'll see that. Okay, so there was the confusion. Jesus of Nazareth. We got just a little bit. Let's look at the second name. I think we can get this one too, because we've talked about this one before. He was called the what? The Son of David. It all fits together. The Son of David. This was the title of the Messiah. The Son of David is the promised Messiah and Savior, promised to King David that his son would be king who'd rule forever. Do you remember when David decided to build a temple and then Nathan the prophet came to him and said, no, God doesn't want you to build a temple, but he's going to do this for you. He's going to build a house for you, David. You're going to have a son that will sit on the throne of Israel forever. Well, everybody knows that Solomon died and the next son after that died. And so there's never been a son of David. How can you sit on the throne of Israel forever? You have to be what? You have to be God. And that's why the Son of David is the Messiah and the Savior and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so he's going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, Matthew 22:42, they ask him, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And what did they say to him? Who is the Christ? The Son of David. They knew that. They knew that David's greater son would be the Messiah. Look at the genealogy. Matthew 1:1, it says this, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. When people saw him, they called him that. I'm going to put this one up to you. Just the Canaanite woman, listen to this. A Canaanite woman came from that region, and she began crying out, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Do y'all realize, do you remember what happened there? This is why you have to understand the Bible. Jesus is over there and he's in a region, a part of the northern part of Israel in which there are a lot of Gentiles. In fact, there were 10 cities over there that were sort of Gentile cities. Jesus is over there and there's a Syrophoenician woman, Phoenicia and Syria, and there she is. and she starts following Jesus. She's not Jewish. He's offered himself at this time as what? The king of Israel. Not the king of the world, the king of Israel. And so she begins to follow him. She believes he is the what? How do we know she believes he's the Messiah? What does she call him? She said, "Have mercy, O Lord, Son of David." Now, you remember what Jesus did? The moment he heard her say, "Son of David," what did he know? Of course, he knows everything anyway, but what did he know, humanly speaking, right then? That she's a believer in him. Do you remember what he said to her? She kept calling out, "Son of David, have mercy, Son of David." It was so loud that the disciples said, "Could you shut this woman up?" That's what they went over. They went over and said, "This woman is bothering all of us." So what did Jesus say to her? He said, "I'm not going to give the food that belongs to the Jews to the Gentiles." And she said, "Yeah, but even a dog under a table, the crumbs fall down and the dogs get the crumbs." She's actually saying, "Just give me a crumb. Just give me a crumb. I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you can do something." He said, "Your faith is great. Go home. She's well." He did it on purpose, because what he's showing is, look, I'm the king and I'm offering it to the Jews, but there are some Gentiles who know exactly who I am, Son of David. Let me show you this next one. I love this one. We've talked about this one before. Remember the blind beggar? Jesus was passing by, and this guy kept saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they kept saying, "Would you be quiet? You're bothering everybody." And he kept shouting it out. And Jesus stopped, and everybody went, "Oh, he's in trouble." Jesus said, "Tell him to come here." And they went, "He's calling for you." And he said, he got up, and he came over to Jesus. And Jesus, he called out, what did he say? "Son of David, Son of David." Jesus knew what? He said, What do you want me to do for you? He said, "I want to see." "You can see." And he followed Jesus, praising him. Look at this, the last thing. In Matthew 21, verse 9, as they're coming into the city, and the multitudes were going before him who blessed him and were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So Jesus' earthly name, Son of David. So we got two names there, Jesus of Nazareth and Son of David. I got two more that we're going to go over next week, but I want you to see this. Let me give you some applications, okay? Realize that Jesus, as the anointed one of God, fulfilled his earthly ministry. What does it mean, the anointed one of God? What does that mean? He's the what? Prophet, priest, and he's the Christ, right? He's the prophet, the priest, and the king. The prophet who is the word of God, the priest who offered the final sacrifice, the king who would rule the world. So realize that Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one of God, is the prophet, priest, and king. Okay? Here's the second thing. Remember that Jesus was considered from Nazareth. He was. Because he grew up there. His ministry was in that region. But he was born where? Bethlehem. That's the important part. So when you say Jesus of Nazareth, that's okay to say that. That doesn't mean he wasn't the Messiah. That just means he didn't grow up in Bethlehem. And last but not least, Jesus was the Son of David. The title of the Son of King David, who was the Messiah and the King. So we've just got a few names. Next week, I got two more names that we're going to see his earthly ministry. Then we're going to look at his heavenly ministry, and it's going to be important to see that, because the heavenly ministry of Jesus is going, and we're going to look at his names and titles. That's going on when? The heavenly ministry of Jesus is going on when? No. The heavenly ministry of Jesus is going on when? Right now. That's why it's so important for us to know what he's doing, what his names and titles are, because he's doing it for us right now.